I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Why y'all lying? Didn't your parents teach you not to lie? From the 816, I didn't even know about cheats on the original Mario except for jumping on turtles for extra lives. Okay, 913, my brother and I beat Mario 1 without cheating. Took weeks to figure out the last level. 847, keeping it real in Chicago. Nobody could beat Contra without cheats too. That's what I'm saying. Back in the day, Nintendo made games that they wanted you to buy that weird bi-weekly magazine that they put out. Bank, you lived at that time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have the Power Glove?
Never had any of that.
Remember the Power Glove? Remember the Power Pad? Anyway, maybe we talk
about
Nintendo.
I wasn't about that stuff. Sean, I was more of just use the joystick they gave you.
You play with your joystick for a while, and that makes a lot of
that's
sense.
Right.
That's Binkley. I'm the sports machine. That's Kramer. This is hour number two of The Drive. Kramer, switch me up some music. Give me some NFL beats if you could. Let's take a quick trip around the NFL, where earlier today, Binkley, Tom Brady, said, and I quote, he would be open to playing with a different team in free agency. Now, I feel like we've known now for a long time that there's a chance that Tom Brady is done in New England. It feels real now, because at the beginning of this, it felt a lot like you hear about a lot of superstars where they end up playing their whole career with said team. In the case of Tom Brady, I think this is going to end up like Emmett Smith. I think this is going to end up like some of the greats who play their entire career with one team, first ballot Hall of Famer, like Emmett, considered one of the all-time greats, and then we just forget about wherever he played the last couple of years. I don't know where it's going to be, but I'm starting to think it's not going to be in New England.
I'm not either. And with Jeff Darlington of ESPN reporting that he would be, at this point, stunned if Tom Brady ended up back up in New England. I don't think he's going to end up there. Matter of fact, two of the three teams he's talked to, Sean, in the division. This division could be interesting with old Tom ending up. He talked to the Raiders, supposedly, talked to the Chargers, and then talked to the Indianapolis Colts. I think he'll end up in the AFC West.
So if he does end up in the AFC West, good thing or bad thing or no thing at all for the Chiefs?
It's no thing at all.
I'm leaning
still have to
no
have a team around Tom Brady, and he just doesn't. And not only that, Belichick is not going with him. It's a big difference.
He definitely makes both of those teams not only relevant, but playoff potential teams right away.
Well, it was against what the Chargers. Anthony Lynn's talking about a mobile quarterback and why he wants the Tyrod Taylor guy.
Well, they don't want Tom Brady.
I think he'd be a better fit in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Than he would the Chargers. And I think the Colts would be a perfect spot with him with that offensive line.
Speaking of the Colts, not only do they appear to be interested in the aforementioned Tom Brady, they're also interested in Phillip Rivers. So Phillip Rivers could go from the Bolts to the Colts. How about that, Mink? I think that actually makes a lot of sense because Jacoby Brissett was aight this year. At the beginning of the year, he played well. And then he turned into Jacoby Brissett, and they realized, hold on, we just gave that guy $18 million a year. So they've shown that they're willing to pay, they're willing to overpay. And if there's a guy in Phillip Rivers that thinks that he's still a starter and a team that thinks that they're on the fringe of winning a playoff game or two, which I think Indy is and I think Phillip Rivers considers himself, that feels like a pretty good marriage to me. If Brady doesn't end up in Indy, I think that's where Rivers goes.
Where did you have the Colts last year? Did you have them as a playoff team? I know I did.
Before Andrew Luck
before
retired?
Before we knew about Andrew Luck.
Oh, yeah.
I said the Colts
absolutely
are going to be one of these teams. I mean, they won a road playoff game. This is a team that went to Arrowhead Stadium and beat Patrick Mahomes despite him throwing for 321 yards. They had the recipe and the coach to do it. That offensive line has been flipped. What they did, what Chris Ballard did a couple years ago with Quentin Nelson and local product Braden Smith, flipped that offensive line. I've always thought Rivers ends up in Indy. I don't think it's going to be Tom. I think it's going to be Rivers.
You mentioned Ballard. I always think back to when the Chiefs made the decision, essentially, to make Brett Veach their general manager of the future, And I think the Ballard thing happened right before, right?
So it did. It was like January, then he was the summer.
It was right around the same time period. The Chiefs essentially had three guys in-house that they could have chosen as a general manager, and they really couldn't have gone wrong with any of them. They could have kept Dorsey. They could have did what they ended up doing, which is Veach. Or they could have gone with Chris Ballard, and hindsight always being 2020, they made the right move. That was a great decision.
Well, as we looked at it midsummer, when you look at these teams, you thought of the Browns. People thought they were going to be better than they were.
I did.
There was three GMs in this league, three power teams we thought in the AFC, all of them with Kansas City guys as GMs with Ballard, Veach, and Dorsey.
Well, the quarterbacks.
And then we saw what happened.
The quarterbacks screwed the pooch for two of those three guys.
That's right.
Patrick Mahomes turns into Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Baker Mayfield turns into Johnny Manziel Part D, if you will. And then Andrew Luck says, nah, I'm good. I'm done playing football. So to be fair to those other guys, their quarterbacks weren't great. Speaking of quarterbacks and being great, what are the chances, Bink, that Joe Burrow is going to be better than the last two number one overall picks, the aforementioned Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray? I think that his skill set is a little bit more old school NFL than those guys are. Because Baker Mayfield, when he's good, he's on the run. He's creating. Same thing with Kyler Murray, an undersized guy. But when he can get outside the pocket, he can be pretty accurate. In the case of Joe Burrow can run, but Joe Burrow is a great pocket passer. When you think of college pocket passers that are this developed, I can't really think of too many other guys besides Andrew Luck and maybe Peyton Manning that could do it the way that Joe Burrow can. So I don't think there's any question Burrow's going to be much better than those two guys.
And the one thing about him is the mobility in the pocket. Kyler Murray, just a different type of quarterback, but I like him better than Mayfield. But you're talking about a guy that had 399 yards rushing his junior year, over 300 his senior year. 12 rushing touchdowns his last 2 years at LSU. Joe Burrow, he can't escape the pocket. He can run a little bit, but he that escapability, throwing off one foot. So he is old school in a way, but it's a way that he threw 60 touchdown passes this year, an NCAA record, because of his ability to get out of that pocket.
How long do you think it takes?
He can scramble. He can scramble. May not be a great runner, but he can scramble.
How long do you think it takes him to catch up with the other young quarterbacks in the league? So let's say a guy like Deshaun Watson. I think most people would say he's somewhere between the maybe 5th and 10th best quarterback in the entire league. Age doesn't matter for this conversation. How long do you think it takes Joe Burrow to catch up with those dudes?
After this year, year two.
Really?
Get his feet wet this year, year
two. Even in Cincinnati.
Listen, Cincinnati's the Marvin Lewis with the 7 playoff games with that team. They can win if they have the right coach and quarterback combination. I'll say this about—
Who the hell is the coach? They suck.
That Zach Taylor.
Okay, thank you.
But I'll say this. The one thing about Joe Burrow is this is going to be a name you hear with Patrick Mahomes going forward. I know we're all talking to Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. I feel Cincinnati, of course, they're going to take Joe Burrow, but put Joe Burrow's name in that list of quarterbacks in the AFC that we're talking about in 5 years. Who are going to be the quarterbacks we're looking at?
It's always so who's going to be the quarterback that Pat faces the most in the playoffs, and it's always the same names. It was Deshaun Watson last year, then this year it was Lamar Jackson. You might be right. Maybe it's a guy that's not in the NFL right now. Who knows? Maybe it is. Maybe it's Joe Burrow. Maybe it's Trevor Lawrence when he comes out next year. We'll see where he ends up. The CBA negotiations are going on right now. Bink, a 17th game, good or bad idea?
I think it's a good idea as a fan because we're not playing in the games, clearly. I think it just extends the season. I'm 100% for it. More football is better for me. Extend the NFL out. I'm good with the 17th. Not only that, but figuring out exactly what they're going to do, the 9 home games 1 year, then 8 the next year. I'm all for the play these at a neutral site. I've been a big advocate of them taking these games and playing neutral site, like at Oklahoma, like at Nebraska, like Autzen Stadium.
Oh, so you're not talking London. You're talking random U.S.
I'm talking
city.
What the NHL does Omaha. With the stadium series. I'm taking, talking about going and playing in Tuscaloosa, Alabama with teams. Yeah, I'm talking about using college stadiums that are just as big as NFL stadiums for the NFL product.
Is this a Jay Binkley original idea, or have you heard this somewhere else? Because I've heard
other
ideas.
I wrote the story on the website last year or the year before. I wrote the story that the NFL needs to do like the NHL with the stadium series, but they have talked about the neutral site games. They're actually talking about the college stadiums. I wrote this a year ago on 610sports.com.
I think if they go to 17, it's for two reasons. One, they finally realize that we don't need 4 preseason games. That's just a money grab. Guys end up getting hurt. We don't really end up finding these diamonds in the rough that we talk about.
They only play four quarters.
That's
total.
What I'm saying. So preseason football, I think the NFL finally goes, all right, we've squeezed all the juice out of the orange for that one. Nobody cares about these things. So if we make 17 regular season games, we can go down to 2 preseason games. And then, like you said, the 17th game would be 8 home, 8 Road. What do you do with that other one? Maybe you're onto something. I guess I just figured it would be London, it would be Toronto, it would be Mexico City.
Well, they've talked about expanding the international. Then they've also thrown out there the 9 home games 1 year, 8 road games, then flip it the next year.
Is it broke? Because they're trying to fix it. It doesn't seem like it's
broke.
But
the problem is when some of these teams are doing international games and some aren't, that's the problem. So my proposal, I would do everybody's got a game outside the realm of, I mean, look at the Jaguars. They're playing 2 games this year in London. That's ridiculous. Back-to-back games. The Jaguar fans get 6 home games. How ridiculous is that? It's terrible.
Well, I don't know how much the fans in Jacksonville are really
it's terrible.
Care about their football team.
I don't care, but that's bad.
All right, and then before we get out of here and we move on to some more pressing conversation, how do you feel like you did in the Wonderlic yesterday? Because you and I both took the Wonderlic. And if you've never taken the Wonderlic, here's how it works. It's 12 minutes and it's 50 questions, and it's basically ACT type of questions. Before I tell you who's got the highest Wonderlic score in the history of the NFL combine and then the lowest, what do you think you got with 50 being the best and 0 being the lowest?
It's not going to be good. I only finished 33 questions.
Give me a number. About
I don't know. I'm 15.
Don't
I don't
be, a 15?
I only answered 33 out of 50.
A 15 would put you in the very...
Yeah, dumb. Go ahead and say it.
I wasn't going to say it.
Yikes.
The best ever.
I didn't finish the damn thing, Cream Dog.
That's why you guess towards the end. That's why you guys don't understand that.
I should have looked at a clock and done the time, but I didn't.
What's his name? I almost said Larry Fitzgerald. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, like you bunch of Einsteins are going to do much better. That's my question.
I bet I double you. If you think you got a 50, you think you got a... What do you think?
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Ryan Fitzpatrick once got a 48.
Why don't we see the bench press, Levine?
He went to Harvard. Don't worry about my bench press, Bink.
let's measure that.
Let's just say Bink may or may not have gotten 71 times the amount of bench press that I got earlier today. Did I beat Speck at the end in a game of pig, though? Did I knock down my 3?
You were nailing it. Okay. I was there talking to the people that worked there, and then you already done.
All right. Patrick Mahomes, if you're curious, he got a 24 when he took the Wonderlic. Tom Brady got a 33. And I think most people know this, but I'll still throw it out there. Vince Young got a very Kramer-ish 6. So you're going to do better than Vince Young. I feel very confident about that.
Let's hope.
Maybe.
Let's hope. I don't know.
I've taken it once. I got a 22.
Vince is my bar.
I'd set the bar a little higher. Not too much higher. Set it like a 9, Bink. You can get double digits.
I don't have the money to rent out a Southwest jet like Vince did.
That's fair. That's Bink. That's Kramer. I'm the Sports Machine. Coming up next, speaking of quarterbacks and the combine, it is quarterback day at the combine. All these teams are trying to find their version of Patrick Mahomes. Is that guy out there? Is that possible? We discuss next on The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back into The Drive. Kramer on the controls, Bink on the mic. I'm the Sports Machine taking you up until 6 o'clock. Guess what I got yesterday, Bink?
I don't know.
A bet in a box. You ever got a bet in a box?
No, I have no idea what
I got
it is.
A bet in a box.
Those are awesome when you open them up.
That's not the saying. But oh. What, seriously, what is that?
It's a bed in a box.
Is it vacuum sealed?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Explain what that is, Sean. Is it like a bed you sleep in?
I feel like everybody else listening knows, but I'll explain
it
to you.
Like beds come in a box? I have no idea.
You didn't know about this? Yeah.
What is it?
It's a bed that comes in a box, and you open the box, and then you've got a mattress.
Yeah. Oh,
and it pops open. It's great. I got one now. So my question was...
I've never seen that.
Well, now you know about a bed in a box. My question is this, because then you can transport it in your car. It's much easier. It's hard to transport a giant-ass mattress.
Who the hell does that?
I do. Do you have
I did once in college.
A bed in a box?
Yes.
Not an air mattress.
I have never heard of that.
A bed in the box. Those vacuum sealed, when you open it up, it goes tss, and it's just cool.
I've heard of Jack in the Box.
I have too. All I'm saying is a couple of things. One, Kramer, what you're talking about can be very dangerous because those things grow really quick.
It's not like I'm on top of that thing.
Well, I was. I didn't understand that part of it. And two, do you need a box spring? What does a box spring actually do?
It goes underneath the mattress.
I understand where it goes, Jay. I'm asking, does one need a box spring, or can they just take their bed in a box, let it uncoil, and then put it on the floor?
I just think it's more comfortable, probably.
Okay.
It's a comfort thing.
That's what I was asking.
It's totally up to you.
So you don't need
a box. I mean, you're not going to have any ladies over there, so it doesn't matter.
Do you need one of those, like those things, like the wooden plates, or it's like raised up a little bit, too?
You're talking about like those things that 2x4s carry around.
Almost, yeah.
Those giant, what are those things called?
You know, pallets?
Yeah, you're talking about a pallet.
No, I'm not talking about a pallet.
That'd be
though.
Dope. That's what I'm going to do.
I mean, you want a pallet?
Kramer, see, that's what, See, Bink, you're just talking smack, and then Kramer's helping me out.
I'm trying to get you elevated a little bit,
what
man.
What were you sleeping on, by the way?
Before this?
Yeah.
A futon.
Before the bed in the box. I bet it's more comfortable.
I got a bed in a box.
It's not the same.
It's going to be way better. Anyway, we'll get back into sports because that's what
people
are texting in.
Pretty cool.
Thank you. Bink, the Kansas City Chiefs, it appears, are going to use their franchise tag on Chris Jones. We were talking about this before you got in. So essentially, they could go one of three directions now. Chris Jones can play under the franchise tag. We'll see what the exact number is, $15, $16, $17 million, whatever.
$15.5, $16.5 million.
He plays this year. He probably has, let's call it, 12, 13 sacks because in the last 2 years, he has 25 and a half sacks. I haven't seen him taper off very much. When he's healthy, he's great. He's a very consistent player. Chris Jones has been consistent from the word go when the Chiefs drafted him. So they can let him play under this franchise tag and then say, thank you for your services, but we don't have enough money to pay you. Go hit the open market. And there's going to be 15 to 20 suitors lined up to pay a 26-year-old defensive tackle that's the best at his job, not named Aaron Donald. That's option number one. Option number two is now they've bought themselves a little bit of time where they technically got him under their control, where they can decide, you are the guy that you told us that you were, and we will give you what you're asking for. And they give him a, you name it, whatever, four-year, $80 million plus guaranteed type contract. So they could either let him play out this year, let him walk, sign him to a long-term deal, or, and this is the option that I think a lot of people, is just something that we're talking about on the radio, but I think it's more than that. They could do what they did with Dee Ford, where he's under their control. They can put him out there. They can say, all right, start making offers. And then if they get an offer they can't refuse, they can take it. And if they don't like the offer, they can play with Chris Jones. So to me, at this point, after what the Chiefs announced earlier today, that they are going to use their tag on Chris Jones, now we know exactly it's going one of three ways.
I think 50% of the 44 people that have been tagged have that long-term contract. I was listening to him earlier a little bit when he was on with Colin Cowherd, and he asked him, how does this feel? Because the guys feel a little miffed. They don't feel appreciated when the franchise tag. They don't. But they understand the business. They understand the business side of it. This gives the Chiefs a longer time to negotiate. Now, what we don't know is which tag is it? Will it be the exclusive, which no team can negotiate with them, or will it be the non-exclusive? Let's let teams interact with the conversations, and the team gets two first-round picks. So if he goes elsewhere, the Chiefs get two first-round picks. I'm curious if that wouldn't be their thinking, because if they trade him, and I listened to Therese, he was on Cody and Gold, you know, I've been thinking that. Like, why would the Chiefs take anything less than a 1-2 that the Chiefs did for Frank Clark? Like, and he might even give more than that. Like, if the market is there for Chris Jones, a 1, 2 2s, a 1, a 2, and a 3, I mean, there's things I feel Chris Jones can command just as much or even actually more than what Frank Clark did.
So now we start that period of, okay, teams, come knocking at our door.
There's two different opens, and the Chiefs are evidently open for business for trades at the combine to try to get more picks.
If they get offered what you just said, if somebody says we'll give you multiple ones or a 1-2
well,
and a 3.
Well, that's if the non-exclusive and they come in and grab
at
it.
At that point, man, it's going to be tough to turn down. You're right, Therese was on Cody and Gold earlier today, and he reacted to Chris Jones getting the franchise tag. Hang on 1 second here.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, it's a pretty standard procedure, whether you're trying to extend them, which I think they would like to do ideally, or if you're going to trade them, which is obviously a possibility as well. So, you know, at the end of the day, this is going to come down to cost versus benefit. You know, if they can find a way to hammer out something that makes sense. It will cost a lot of money. I think they'd like to do that. But, you know, teams are definitely going to be interesting. Chris Jones. There could be a team that pays that offers up something ridiculous, and you know I think every team has to listen to that. So, you know, we'll see if they do decide to re-sign him. You know, if they can re-sign him, they'll have to make some moves to accommodate that, some trades or whatever. Might require you to make a tough decision on Sammy Watkins, who they'd also like to potentially do something with. So, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to have to weigh all their options and kind of see what makes the most sense for the football team. But we're at the point now where those options are being presented to them as they talk to both the agents for those players and other teams.
Chris Jones is the best free agent. Well, no longer, technically. He's the best free agent on the market that's not a quarterback, and it's not even that close. I wonder, Bink, how many Super Bowl champion teams that have so much in place like the Chiefs do have ever been in the situation where they're the Super Bowl favorites heading into the next season, but they've also got one of the biggest free agents out there, And then the question becomes, what if he plays on another team? How much does that change the odds? Because that should tell you. Because Vegas isn't usually wrong on this stuff. They don't get it all right. But I think that the odds will change significantly for the Chiefs' chances of repeating, at least in the desert, depending on if Chris Jones actually plays for this team next year or doesn't.
Yeah, I think that's it. And the Chiefs know they have a valuable commodity in Chris Jones that people are going to want. And we've seen more of the sign-and-trade types of deals with Chris Jones. What's the grand plan with Brett Veach? And I've been saying all along, Sean, I mean, you're looking at paying the highest priced offensive contract and defensive contract in the same year. You're right. People are looking at the Seahawks. I mean, they paid Russell Wilson all the money. They didn't have money to go give Frank Clark. They didn't have that money. You got to pick and choose who you want. The fact the Chiefs got the ring, I think, makes the difference.
If they decide option B and they go, all right, Chris Jones, we're going to trade you away and get younger options and take some trade assets and it's going to be cheaper. Or if they let him play this year and he walks, then they go, okay, we're going to try something else. See you later, Chris Jones. Thanks for your services. We appreciate it. Then that does open up so much more money, which opens up so many more options. Basically, what that would mean going forward after next year, then they can start to flirt with other free agents. They can talk about guys that are kind of mid-level veterans. They could probably get multiple positions. It's pretty much an either or at this point when it comes down to the money. And I'm not saying Pat or Chris Jones, they can get both of them done. And I'm saying Pat is 100% going to get the long-term contract. So we don't need to have that conversation. But if they decide to lock up Chris Jones and the news earlier today that they're going to franchise tag him, basically buys them a little bit of time. If that's the decision that they make to give him a long-term deal, if they make that move, then what they're saying, the moment they make that decision, Bink, is we're out of the free agent game for the next 2, 3, 4 years. Maybe you get somebody like a Mo Claiborne that you pay $1 million or $2 million a year, but you're out of the Anthony Hitchens conversation, the Sammy Watkins, the Frank Clark. If you say yes long-term to Chris Jones, then you're out of the free agent game for the next 3 or 4 years.
Oh, no question about it, because you have all your eggs in one basket.
And I'm cool with that. If that's the decision to make, I'm cool with that.
The Colts didn't have success with it. They just pay a certain amount of players, high prices, and then everybody else fall in. This is why the draft's so important. This is why this draft this year is important. Last year's draft was great. Everybody's still on the team that Brett Veach went out and got. It's about accumulating picks. He wants to do it. This is how you build this football team. It's about depth, youth, depth you're not spending. And again, winning the championship changes everything. Like, what do you think the sentiment would be if Chris Jones walked and the Chiefs did not win the Super Bowl against the Niners?
Oh, people would be pissed.
Of course. But is it a little less now since they won it?
Yeah, it softens the blow.
It does.
But I think that people, and it doesn't matter what people think or you think or I think. No. It matters what Brett Veach and Andy Reid and Clark Hunt and those guys think. I think that they think, if you're following what I'm saying, that Chris Jones is one of the pieces, one of the pillars that they need to win multiple Super Bowls. I don't think that they think he's expendable. And if that's a decision that they come to, then they're going to pay the guy. And then they're going to make the decision in the next 3 or 4 years to not test the free agent market. If you made me bet right now, 2 years from now, Bing, first I want your answer, then I'll give mine. So not this season, but next season. So 2 years from now, is Chris Jones in a Chiefs uniform or not? What say you?
I would say no.
You'd say no.
I'd say there's pros and cons if you're the Chiefs. Remember, they thought a lot of his sacks were, you know, extracurricular, going for things that wasn't exactly for the scheme last year. That's how that sack count went up. And again, we've trotted out 5.5 with him on the field, rushing yards against, 4.3 with him off of it. He had 3 tackles in the postseason and missed the playoff game. Three tackles.
You sound like you're negotiating against
him. I'm just saying this is what I would do if I'm a team. 3 tackles, no sacks. But we all know his presence at the end of the game was large. It's like Terrell Suggs. He didn't show up really in the stat sheet much, but he had a presence in the game because it was pass rush and everybody else benefiting from a guy like Terrell Suggs, just like Andy Reid said at the Combine. I like Chris Jones. I think it's valuable because I think he adds that pass rushing ability from the interior side, frees up other players to set the edge and make plays. But I'm just saying, if I'm the Chiefs, I think they might take a long, hard look at analytics with Chris Jones. Is this a guy that we need to win the ring? Or do we have a quarterback and we're going to build around Patrick Mahomes? That is going to be our bread and butter. Because the defense didn't need to be great this year. It needed to be better than it was a season ago.
There's one guy, Bink, heading into next season that if I'm him, I'm holding out. I have outplayed my contract. I might be the best at what I do. I'm not playing for this type of money. We talk about who that is next. And there's some free agents out there that maybe the Royals are going to be interested in. We talk a little Royals and Chiefs on The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive. Good Thursday afternoon to you, Kansas City. Kramer's on the controls with Binkley. I'm the sports machine taking you up until 6 o'clock right here on 610 Sports Radio and being heard all over the world on the radio.com app. The big story in the NFL today, certainly the big story in Kansas City, the Chiefs are going to use their franchise tag on Chris Jones. Now, it's a big story, but not a surprising one. We all saw this coming for quite a long time. Once we found out that they were going to pay Pat this offseason and that Chris Jones lived up to the hype from the 15 and a half sack season, we could kind of see the road this was heading down. So I don't think anybody's surprised with the news today. If I'm Chris Jones, I accept this franchise tag. I'm a good soldier. I don't complain. I'm happy to play with Pat. I'm happy to play for the Super Bowl champions, to stay in Kansas City, and to make almost $16 million. But I'm willing to do that one time, and I'm not going to do it again. Now, when I say that, the truth is, if the Chiefs choose to tag him again after this, he still doesn't really have too much negotiating power. The way that it works, I don't want to get too much into it. He'd make a little bit more money because they up it the second time that you're tagged and all of that. But what he couldn't get would be the guaranteed money or the upfront money. So if you're confused on why these guys don't want to get franchise tag, essentially that's why. Because they don't get the big upfront money when they sign their name on the contract, and they don't get whatever guarantee dollars they get. It's just, here's what you get for this season. It's good money, but it's not long term. If I'm Chris Jones and I go up there this year and I have the same type of season that I had, where let's just put the difference in the sacks that he's had the last 2 years. So he had 15 a couple of years ago and 10 this season. So 25 sacks, you do the math. He averages 12 and a half, 13 sacks a year. If he stays healthy, by the way, he had those 10 sacks this year in 12 games. So if he stays healthy, which he has the rest of his career, he's played 16 games every other season. If he stays healthy this year, and he goes out there and has 12, 13, 14 sacks, then if I'm Chris Jones, I start the negotiating at Frank Clark. I say, you guys decided to go out and pay a defensive player $20 million a year and give him this much guaranteed money. I want that much guaranteed money, and I want $20 million a year. If you're not willing to give it to me, I want to play for a different team, or I'm going to sit out. Because at that point, he's going to have a much bigger bank account after this season, so it's going to be an option. We'll see what the Chiefs end up doing if they end up playing hardball, but I think that we're going to know the range that Chris Jones wants to get paid, Bink. He starts at Frank Clark. He ends at Aaron Donald. Where Aaron Donald, what's Aaron Donald getting? Like 20, what's that, $27 million when it comes with the guarantee also? It's a huge number, and as good as Chris Jones is, Aaron Donald is better at sacking the quarterback and better at stopping
the run. Well, Grady Jarrett's kind of been a comparison for him too, but Aaron Donald scheduled to make $16.7 million at the end of his contract in 24. This year he's making $17 million. 2021, $19 million potential out after that.
And then he got that. He got a ton of money up front. So that's what really made him the highest paid player on that side of the ball. Funny you mentioned
$40 million signing bonus.
That's what I'm saying.
86, almost 87 guaranteed.
So $124 million. Is Chris Jones going to get that? Can Chris Jones ask for that? I don't know. You brought up Grady Jarrett, though. Therese was asked earlier today on Cody and Gold, is Chris Jones going to be looking more for Grady Jarrett-type money or the Aaron Donald-type bag?
He's not taking Grady Jarrett's deal. So it's going to be something more than that, for sure. I think it'd be something – I think he's looking at Frank Clark's deal, to be honest. So why wouldn't he? He's a defensive lineman, an interior guy, with a ridiculous amount of sacks combined the last 2 years. So I think our teams out there that will be willing to pay him Frank Clark's deal. I think the Chiefs would still like to do something with him. But, again, you know, this will come down to what you can do versus all the other options. And all those options are still kind of being presented to them at the moment. So I think, you know, everything's on the table, obviously. But I really do think they understand that he's a special player. And one of the things that makes their defense special is him plus Badger plus Frank Clark. Like, that triumvirate of defensive leaders made a Super Bowl defense. And, you know, his presence makes Frank Clark better, too. So that's one of the things where you try to, like, figure that out, and then everything else could kind of fit in around that, right? So we'll see what ends up happening. You know, all this stuff is still being figured out as we go, but not surprised if this has come down the pike, and, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out.
That part, Bank, that Therese said at the end caught my ear. how much does he make other guys better, and how much does a guy like Frank Clark need a guy like Chris Jones? Now, we saw several games this year where either it was just Chris Jones on the line without Frank Clark or just Frank Clark without Chris Jones, but when we saw those guys together, they were dynamic. And think about if they can be relatively healthy next year for an extended period of time, those guys are going to be absolute. I don't know how many defensive lines have Chris Jones and Frank Clark. How many secondaries bring back the Honey Badger and bring back a healthy Juan Thornhill entering 2020? This defense, I think, has a potential, if they bring all these guys back and fill a couple of holes, to go into the season where they finish last year, which wasn't just top half, which wasn't just top 10. It was one of the five best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, they used to move him too next to Frank Clark, and it'd be good. But you can make the argument to set the edge, like the importance of pushing people to the middle, and then see what effect Chris Jones has. I will say this, you know, Therese was talking about the money between Frank Clark. Defensive ends are paid more. Like the projected cap number for defensive ends is almost $18 million, as opposed to defensive tackles, $16.27. So that's so that went up from 15.5 to 16.2, according to CBS. That's like $1.8 million difference between a defensive end and a defensive tackle. They are paid more. So I don't know if the Chiefs will say, wait a minute, I'm not going to quite give you what Frank Clark, because he's a defensive end. This is a pat, but he can come back with, well, look at my pass rushing numbers.
Yeah,
you know, Frank Clark's never had 15 and a half sacks in a season.
Well, you're right when you say that ends get paid more than defensive tackles.
And he was doing a little bit this year.
But the truth is there's a lot more top-line defensive ends than there are defensive tackles. Honestly, if we're naming great defensive tackles in the NFL right now, you got Aaron Donald, you got Chris Jones, you got Grady Jarrett. How many more guys are we really talking about? If we want to talk about defensive ends, we can rattle off 10 or 15. So you're right. They get paid a lot more, but there's a lot less of them. That's why when people get in the argument, who do the Chiefs need more, Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu? I think it's a lot like the Royals back in the day, where you needed all of them. This wasn't going to work if you just had Haas and Moose. You needed Haas and Moose and Kane and Eske and Gore. You needed all these different dudes, and I think that's what made the Chiefs successful, where on the offensive side of the ball, the reason that they've had such big numbers and had such big continuity is because of the big three on that side of the ball. When you talk about talent, nobody can match up with them. Now, if you add a Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson has a big day, a couple of nice linemen, cool. But the truth is, if you've got Pat at quarterback, if you've got Travis Kelce as your tight end, we're going to get to him in a minute, and if you've got Tyreek Hill catching balls, then nobody's pretty much going to stop you no matter what the other parts are. And on the defensive side, it's going to be hard to score on a team that has Tyrann Mathieu, Frank Clark, and Chris Jones. So I see it, Bink, is there's kind of three guys on each side of the ball that the Chiefs need come hell or high water to continue winning Super Bowls, and Chris Jones is one of those guys.
But it was part of the equation that just got to the AFC title game. He added Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu they didn't have last year. I will say this. As far as the Chiefs, to me, their Achilles heel is stopping the run. That'll be priority. That'll be priority number one for the Chiefs. And we talk about Chris Jones maybe limited in stopping the run, can get to the quarterback. What's more important, that or allowing teams to continue to run the football, pick up first downs, like the Texans did in the regular season, like the Colts did in the regular season, like the Packers did at the end of the game where they ran off almost 6 minutes of the clock? What becomes more important? The most important thing for the Chiefs, in my opinion, is stopping the run, even over a pass rush, because it's about the more times, the more minutes you can have Pat Mahomes out on the football field. So stopping the run, to me, is more imperative over everything.
Well, they've been able to get to the quarterback the last couple of years, whether it was Justin Houston and Dee Ford, or last year, whether it was Frank Clark and Chris Jones, whoever it was, the Chiefs got to the quarterback at a pretty impressive rate. When it comes to stopping the run, you're exactly right. Everybody knows that. That's their Achilles heel. That's their weakness. And that is by far the worst part of the defense. But I think with the defensive line, you've got such good pass rushers and Frank Clark and Chris Jones, that you have to improve that pass rush through the linebacker level. That's what I would do. Because the linebackers, if you want to talk about the second, like the back end of the defense, I feel pretty good about the back end of the defense. Even if Fuller and Breland are gone, I mean, I understand that you don't want to go into a season with Tre'Davious Ward being your number one cornerback and Rashad Fenton being your number two. But when you've got Juan Thornhill, when you got the Honey Badger, the secondary is going to be good. Maybe not great, but they're going to be good. The defensive line, same thing. When you've got Frank Clark and Chris Jones, I can tell you right now, Bink, whoever else is there, whoever else is healthy, they're going to be good. They're going to get to the quarterback. With the linebackers, I can't really say that much.
This is where they get better. Let me ask you this. Emmanuel Ogbah is going to be a free agent. I get it. He plays defensive end. Chris Jones, an interior lineman, but can't play defensive end. What's Chris Jones known for? There's one of the stats being floated out. He's got more passes defended than any other interior lineman.
Remember the SWAT
team. Let me ask you this. Same draft. Emmanuel Ogbah and Chris Jones. Same draft.
Mm-hmm.
Who has more passes defended, Emmanuel Ogbah or Chris Jones in their career? You would naturally say Chris Jones.
Well, if we're talking blocking passes, I would probably say Dikembe Mutombo Mutombo, Jean-Jacques Mutombo.
I'm not talking about Mutombo.
Since you brought it up, I would have guessed Chris Jones before
Emmanuel
you said
Ogbah,
this.
Passes defended, 20 in the National Football League.
How many sacks?
Chris Jones.
How many sacks does Ogbah have?
Same draft.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Ogbah, total sacks in his career.
We'll wait for it.
Oh, it's not going to be anywhere near Jones is. He's got 18.
Okay. And we know in the NFL that as much as batting down the pass is valued by guys like J.J. Watt, getting to the quarterback they'll pay a premium for, and there's not one guy in the NFL that plays defensive tackle except for Aaron Donald that can do that better than Chris Jones. So as much bank as you want to bring up, and you're not incorrect when you bring up the stat that when Chris Jones is on the field, the Chiefs' run D actually gets worse. Well, you know what gets better? A whole hell of a lot better? The pass rush. That's the problem. You can point out that Chris Jones doesn't do this well or that he was unhealthy for portions of this season, that he doesn't stop the run. Well, he gets to the quarterback better than any defensive tackle except for Aaron Donald, and the fact that there are only one other guy in the NFL that has that skill set makes him incredibly
valuable. He's got double the sacks of Ogbah. He's got double. But that's not only that. The one thing Chris Jones really has going, what he does at the end of games, like how fresh he is at the end of the game, what he's able to do as far as be disruptive at the end of the games. It's one of the best assets for Chris Jones. When other quarterbacks are out there and they need to get down the field, Chris Jones doing that. Not only that, we've seen more of a leadership role from Chris Jones this year, just like him barking back at Tom Brady. I'm just saying there's a lot of pros and cons when you get out the whiteboard on why to keep the guy or not. There's a bunch of them, but being a leader for this team, it's a different Chris Jones. I've noticed a different Chris Jones this year.
That defense ended up having a lot of leaders, considering how dysfunctional they were with Bob Sutton a year before and the whole Eric Berry keeping him ransom. Think about it. Chris Jones improved his leadership skills. Tyrann Mathieu's the best leader on that side of the ball, probably in the history of Kansas City. I mean, I don't want to shortchange Derek Thomas or any of those guys, but if we're just talking about leadership skills and bringing everybody together and putting them in the right position, Tyrann Mathieu was the perfect fit for Kansas City this year. Dirty Dan, guys like that that have been around for a long time, which is why I said earlier, I think this defense, even if they lose a couple of pieces, because we're talking about the ancillary parts, we're talking about the Breelands and the Wards and maybe MV Pinnell and guys like that, I think this defense entering next season has a chance to be top 10 and then work their way up. Because heading into this year, Bink, you, me, C-Dot, everybody had the same conversation. If this defense can just get better from they were a year before, you want to talk about setting a hell of a low bar? They were 32 in almost every defensive category heading into this year. We were going to be happy if they just got better. We just wanted to get to 25th, 27th. Well, they finished the season with the 7th best defense in the league, which I think is where we should set the bar heading into next year.
No, I'm with you. And not only that, but you're going to see different pieces. You're going to see guys traded. Like, that's one of the things. LDT, guys like that, maybe Okafor, released or traded. You're going to see that to save money. Cam Irving. At $3.2 million. He can be a Dustin Colquitt, by the way, gets paid $2 million. They don't even use him.
I hear you.
You could literally sign Pinnell by getting rid of a few people. Like Damian Wilson, $4.5 million. Austin Ryder, $3.4 million. Go a different route in center. Again, you can do this because Austin Ryder had one start before he came to the Chiefs.
Mike Pinnell actually is speaking with the Chiefs. So the Chiefs are trying to get something done with MV
Pinnell.
There's
just ways for them to get money.
They're essentially figuring out their big 350-pound guys on the defensive line, hopefully in a 48-hour period. I'll be thrilled if we find out. Now, obviously, we can't officially find this stuff out if Pinnell's going to be around for a while, but I would love the Chiefs to have a way going forward where they keep both those guys in the middle. And I know we make a bigger deal out of MV Pinnell than he probably is, friend of the show, Colt Hero in Kansas City. But the truth is, his name got called early and often in the Super Bowl. He's made some big plays, and I'm not suggesting that he's on Chris Jones' level, but you don't have to pay him what Chris Jones gets. I would love to see both those guys back in Kansas
City.
And
the other pro for Chris Jones is I think he's getting that point where he helps younger guys develop. He's a known commodity in the NFL. Not only that, he is somebody they scheme against, knowing how good he is on the defensive line. They're concerned about him. Concerned about the quarterback's arm throws, what he can do, disruption to the quarterback. Now, stopping the run, that's got to be one thing. But I've just seen more leadership out of Chris Jones. He's always been, you know, a happy-go-lucky fun guy.
Yeah.
But he had some serious intensity about him as well.
When Chris Jones came to St. Joe earlier this year, he had that pseudo, air quotes, holdout, which he didn't really hold out. And then he showed up to camp. He's like one of the first guys there.
They're going to make that tougher, by the way, the new CBA.
Well, we can talk about that as we roll forward. If you find that interesting, I kind of don't. But on top of that, I think that Chris Jones told the Chiefs, hey, you should pay me now because I'm only going to be more expensive, and I'll go out there and prove it if I have to. And he went out there and proved it. So he's going to get paid. Going to get the franchise tag. We'll see what happens going forward. In the case of Travis Kelce, that guy is making less money for the next 2 years on his contract before it runs out than he has the last couple of years. So most of the time, the way that these things work, for a guy that's in his prime, a guy that you could argue is one of the 10 best pass catchers, tight end, wide receiver in the NFL, most of the time, here's how these things work. He gets $2 million, then he gets $5 million, then he gets $10 million, then he gets $15 million, then the contract runs up. Well, in the case of Travis Kelce, it was built a little bit different where over the next couple of years, he's going to make essentially $8 million and then $7 million in change. I'm not saying that the Chiefs are going to do the right thing and shred up the contract and pay Travis Kelce because there's other guys. We've been talking about Chris Jones long-term wants his money. We know Patrick Mahomes is going to get his money. MB Pinnell is going to take a couple of million. Maybe they re-sign D-Rob or Fuller or Breland or one of these other pieces. All these guys are going to get money. It's just going to be different amounts, but it's all going to be money. I think, Bink, that when you're talking about specifically like a guy like, say, MB Pinnell, it's a little bit different than when you're talking about a guy like, who should I bring up? Sammy Watkins. If you're Sammy Watkins, there's going to be a huge difference between the money that Kansas City can give you or is willing to give you and what you can make on the open market. And when I say huge difference, I'm talking about $15 million over the life of 2 or 3 years. If the Chiefs think that Sammy's worth, throw the number out, $8, $9 million, they're willing to give him that, somebody's probably going to be willing to give him 15, 30 over 2 guaranteed type
maybe
money.
He's not having Pat Mahomes with him, which I think is a big difference.
And we'll see what ends up happening. But if you're Mike
Pinnell,
Albert
Wilson.
But if you're Mike Pinnell and the difference is $3 million or $3.5 million and one of them's coming back to Kansas City, then you got a different decision to make.
I agree with you. And as far as we were talking about with Kelce,
yeah.
We're talking about he has 200 catches the last 2 years. Over 2,500 yards. That's ridiculous. I mean, that is Pat Mahomes' weapon.
If I'm Kelce, I hold out.
No, but here's the thing about it, too. There's not like there's depth. It's not like there's that young guy to push him. You're talking about Deion Yoder and Blake Bell. I mean, there's nobody to push Travis Kelce. He essentially has leverage. You want to talk about leverage? He's got leverage.
So nobody wants to hear this, but let's say that he did what I just said. And he goes, you know what? You're going to give me $8 million and $7 million and Julio Jones, and these guys are making $20 million, and I've got better stats than those guys. And as Bink just said, I've got 200 catches in the last 2 years.
And was the leading receiver by yardage in the AFC despite being a tight end. Fourth in the NFL in receiving yardage as a tight end. Number one in the AFC.
Ooh, I love those
ahead
numbers.
Of everybody.
So you got all that at the negotiating table. Now you're a Super Bowl champion. Everybody said for years that Gronk was the best tight end in football. And then for a while this year, people said George Kittle was the best. Look at the numbers. He's the best. He's 31 years old or will be at the beginning of next year. So if you're Travis Kelce, man, if you really want to get that huge payday, the $15, $17 million, which he deserves, the time is now, because 2 years from now, when there's not as much tread on the tires, and we'll see what other pieces the Chiefs have built around Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if that's when Kelce gets the bag. How many 33-year-old tight ends end up getting paid the way that Travis Kelce should?
Yeah, because the tight end's not valued that much. It's like Tony Gonzalez, arguably.
But there's not much.
He's NFL top 100,
but there's not a lot of Travis Kelce.
I'm just saying. That's the argument against tight ends. But he's different than a tight end, as we all know.
That's why all these guys have negotiating power, because like people always say, well, Patrick Mahomes is going to get a little bit more than the next guy. So let's say that Deshaun Watson gets paid and then Pat's the next in line. Well, if I'm Pat, I say I don't care that it went Russell Wilson, then Jared Goff, then Jimmy Garoppolo, and those guys each made $2 million more than the next guy. I'm $7 million better than Deshaun Watson, so pay me my money. If I'm Chris Jones, I go, yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of defensive tackles out there that do a bunch of good things. The only one that gets to the quarterback more than me is Aaron Donald. I'm pretty unique at what I do. Same thing if you're Travis Kelce. If you're Travis Kelce, you can say, hey, there's maybe one guy that you could argue that plays the position as good as I do. By the numbers, that's wrong. I'm the best at this. You're giving me $8 million a year. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think Kelce's going to upset the apple cart. But if he did, not only would I be on his side, I think the Chiefs would cave. I think they'd be like, damn it. Damn it, I wish you wouldn't have done this, because we need Travis Kelce. And all right, dude, like, you're only making 15 over the next couple of years. We'll throw you a bone and give you a few more million dollars. Again, I don't think Kelsey's going to hold out. I don't think this is going to be something the Chiefs have to deal with. But if Kelce did decide to do that, I don't think it'd be the wrong decision.
Well, the thing is, just imagine you bought a house down here. See, Sean Levine buys a house in Leawood. You get this nice living
in
room.
In Leawood?
Yeah, there's nice. Yeah, Sean Levine's in Leawood.
Bro, in Leawood?
There's no bed in the box. There's no bed in the box. I'm talking, you have the leather.
I got a bed in the box.
You have the leather sectional. You get the recliner. You get the 70-inch TV. You got lamps.
Who am I, C-Dot?
No, but here's the thing. What do you start taking away? What's the most important part of that living room? The TV is. Yeah. That's Pat Mahomes. Like, the one thing is, they got way too many guys to pay. But again, what's the most important position? It's the quarterback. What are the Chiefs coming off of? A Super Bowl, which makes this whole thing a lot of ease. Can't pay everybody. We want to pay everybody. Give everybody money. That's just not the reality of the NFL.
Who's
Seahawks probably want to keep Frank Clark.
Who's the end table when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs? Who's the ottoman?
To think about that.
Kendall Fuller feels like an ottoman to me.
Wouldn't Travis Kelce be
Damian Williams?
Wouldn't Kelce and Hill be the sectional?
Damian Williams is a lamp in the corner. You can replace him pretty easily at pretty much any store out there.
No. But Mahomes would be your TV.
Yeah, Mahomes is here.
Because you can live without everything else, but that TV, that's the
Yeah, Mahomes is the 70-inch flat screen.
I mean, you could take a lawn chair and put it in the living room.
Chris Jones is the wraparound couch. Like, you really need him, and if you don't have him, you're screwed. You're sitting on a fold-out chair, which, by the way, I've done way too many times in my life. All right, enough for the analogies. The 4 o'clock hour is up against us. Coming up next, speaking of Patrick Mahomes, if Pat goes out there and wins the Super Bowl this year, and I get it, that's a big if. It's not that easy. But if he does, then the all-time talks with Patrick Mahomes should be in full force. I'm going to give you a list of quarterbacks, all-time greats, that only won one Super Bowl, that Pat's already part of that conversation. If he wins another one, he's an all-time great, period. And I'll tell you why next on The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.